flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Washington, D.C. Acknowledge me.
Chris Russell on the Team 980.
I'm not trying to be a jerk. All right, off and running on a rainy Friday in the nation's capital and perhaps beyond. Definitely beyond on the Odyssey app. Always live and free there. And on demand, where you can listen to, like, I don't know, any hour, any show, any day, any place, anywhere, anytime. What's Dan Quinn's slogan? Anybody! Anywhere. Any bleeping time? I don't know. I don't know if that's the official logo or slogan, but you can listen at any point. Live, on demand, rewind, all of that jazz on the always live and free Odyssey app. Mad Maximilian is with us again. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday flavor of this week. Congratulations on signing a one-year deal with the Toronto Blue Jays and getting your sixth paycheck that you've suckered teams for?
I don't know. I think it's 6, 7, or 8,
yeah,
somewhere around
like
there.
That. Congratulations as Mad Max's protege, his predecessor, signs with the Toronto Blue Jays. Boy, I'd like to be Max Scherzer's accountant.
Man, wouldn't we all?
Yeah. Max, your accountant? Would I want to be your accountant?
No. No, it'd be pretty bleak,
yeah,
I'll be honest.
Yeah, I hear you. We work in radio. thanks to Donnie over at Gudas Barbecue for coming in and hanging out over on the other side with JP and B-Mitch. Thanks to those guys for having me on and making fun of me as always. Always a good time. Love those guys. Make sure you check them out. They think my show starts at 2. It actually starts at 1. I don't know how to spring that on them, but make sure you check them out whenever you can because they're good guys, JP and B-Mitch. And Donnie does a tremendous... If you need a barbecue catering guy...
Tremendous.
Dude, I had a half a rib, right? You had... Had one or two ribs?
I think I had three.
Okay, three.
We'll be honest.
That's okay. That's all right. Nobody's counting. Nobody's shaming. Nobody's rib shaming. I had a half of one. It is the most tender rib that you're ever going to have. I am so envious, so jealous. I got to get Donnie over here. I'm so envious and so jealous of how he gets it to be exactly just... Like, literally where you do not have to do any tugging with your teeth at all. My ribs are okay at home on the Big Green Egg, right? They're fine. They're pretty good. They're nowhere near. It's like I'm in single A ball, and Donnie is a Hall of Famer.
I need to know what he does. I need to know the secret. Like, I.
Well, so what he. So it's interesting that you say that. Maybe if he's still here, we'll grab him. But he uses a high temp smoker.
Oh.
Yeah, he's got. He's got to describe it. It's like this blue thing because we follow each other on Instagram. He's such a good guy. He's got a special needs daughter, so we bond a little bit over that. We bond over being guys of. Maybe larger carriage is the nice way to say
stature,
that.
Larger yeah.
And just good food, right? So the bottom line is, man. He instead, like, you know how everybody slow cooks meat, like ribs and brisket and chicken and other stuff like that, you know, pulled pork. Donnie from Gudas Barbecue. And you can check him out again, Goudas Barbecue on the gram. He like high pressure cooks the meats that he smokes, and he's constantly doing competition cooking with the giant barbecue festival that they have at the end of June down on, I think it's Constitution, right, that they shut down?
I think so, yeah.
I've never been to it because it's always just...
Middle of July.
Usually late June.
Late June.
It's either
still.
I'm traveling or it's just unbearably hot, and that's, you know... Usually when I have my kids do not handle heat very well.
Neither do men of larger stature ourselves.
Yeah, surprisingly, I am not that bad in heat and humidity. Really? I'm really not bad. I mean,
lucky you.
You know, I get worn down a little bit easier, but I am not that bad. Like, I can handle it. And the only way I can explain it is... You know, I spent a year in Fort Lauderdale. That was hotter than hell.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is a semi-hot climate. People act like it's unbearable around here. It is the biggest joke known to mankind. I almost put the unbearable Washington, D.C. summers with those that believe wholeheartedly in television ratings. What's the other thing that drives me crazy? Oh, that the Vegas handicappers know exactly what's going to happen in a game before it's played. I just lumped them all together in one big basket of, stuff. But anyway, neither here nor there. Thanks to Donnie for bringing in the barbecue. It's delish. Maybe you can see it through some of the pictures. So I wanted to start the show with this. The Wizards last night once again lost. That should not be a surprise to anybody, right?
No.
I mean, let's be honest. Let's call it what it is. The rebuild is as bad of a win-loss result net efficiency as you could possibly get. We're now in year two with very little hope that year three will yield even close to playoff results. Like, you might have to go from the worst levels of suckage, which is what they're at, two 16-game losing streaks and six wins on the year, 6-41, and getting annihilated every night for the most part, getting blown out by the Raptors the other night. It was 14-0, and I think 16-2. They lost by 30. By the Mavericks, the final score was a little bit closer because the reserves played well the last 6-7 minutes. Make no mistake about it. They were down by 30 in the first half. They were just getting drubbed last night. And it was 42-29 at the end of one. And then if you thought it couldn't get any worse, if you thought a 13-point deficit and allowing 42 points in the first quarter could not get any worse... The Wizards had something for you, baby. The Wizards had something for you. Because not only did they allow a pretty good amount of points in the second quarter, but lower than the first quarter. Hey, everybody. 36 points. They went from scoring 29 to 16 in the second quarter. That's
real
right.
Hoop.
That's right, 16. So just in case you weren't paying attention last night at Capital One Arena or here on the Team 980 in the Odyssey app, gotta love them. The Wizards were down 42-29 at the end of one, so down by 13, and then somehow managed to play 10 times worse in the second quarter and got outscored 36-16 in the second quarter for a grand total of 78 for the Lakers at the half. 78-45. They were down by 33 points at the half.
Oof.
Now listen. We are a Wizards partner.
That we are.
I personally like very much Ted Leonsis. I like Zach Leonsis very much. Jim Van Stone is a good pal of mine. Love all those guys. I have no doubt that Will Dawkins, Michael Wenger, I don't think Brian Keefe is going to last more than this year. Not because of the losses, but because of the competitiveness or the lack thereof. I have no idea how long this is going to last, but here's what I feel pretty comfortable in saying. Right now, on January the 31st, year of our Lord style 2025, it's hard to imagine, with as bad as last year was, and they are on a pace to be worse this year.
Somehow.
It is hard to imagine that they are going to be able to win, I don't know, more than 25-ish games. Tops.
I was going to say, I'd set that line at 15 or something like that.
Yeah, but remember, they're going to have, in all likelihood, they're going to have a very, very good player to add to the fold, right? Maybe it's the kid from Duke, Cooper, whatever his name is, and maybe it's Ace Bailey. I don't know. People talk like these guys are household names and that they've been dominating people at the collegiate level forever. I'm sure they're good. I'm sure they're going to help. They are not going to win 40 games on their own, okay? Cooper Flagg is the kid's name.
There you
I was
go.
Thinking of Cooper Kupp, and I didn't want to say the wrong word, the wrong name, but you get the point. Cooper, whatever his name is, kind of works. The bottom line is the Wizards will be lucky to win this year at 6 wins now. And 6-41, so 47 games into an 82-game season. Still obviously have some time here to turn it around, make that playoff push. The Wizards will be lucky to win 25 games next year, even with a top three pick, and maybe even with the number one overall pick, in all honesty. Now, maybe they surprise everybody, and they're way better than I have no idea, right? But that's just a realistic expectation. My point in saying all this is it's probably at least the rest of this year and all of next year before they're even remotely competitive. Like, playoff competitive. When I say remotely competitive, I don't mean getting blown out by 45 every night. I mean, like, winning games competitive. Like, you know, can we win 35? Oh, wait a second. They won 35 a couple of games under a couple of years in a row under Tommy Shepard. Because they were told that they were not allowed to rebuild and reload, and they were told they had to sign Bradley Beal to a terrible contract and a no-trade clause and load up on veterans because they were trying to make the playoffs. They were trying to win playoff rounds, which I didn't have a problem with. Everyone else did, and everyone else ultimately turned out to be right. But you know what they turned out to be wrong on? Oh, yeah, just hit the reset button. Hit the reset button. We'll be great. We'll be fine. Take it on the chin for a year or so. Wizards will be great. Awesome. When? What's got a better chance? The Commanders' new stadium being built first and open for business, or the Wizards winning 35 games again? Probably the Commanders' new stadium. Maybe. Nobody's mad that they're losing. Nobody doesn't understand that this is the most effective way to blowtorch your franchise and rebuild it. Everybody understands that's a tried and true method. What I think people did not understand around here was, and as a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure they didn't understand, was that there was going to be at minimum three really bad years, and you could maybe make an argument for, and it might be until year four or five until they're truly playoff, not championship, playoff competitive. Okay? And on top of that, and this is what I underestimated, me, I thought they would be better win total-wise each of the last 2 years. I really did. I could have never imagined them to be this bad. But that doesn't bother me. What bothers me, again, is the complete and total and utter annihilation that pretty much every opponent is handing them.
I mean, your favorite player set a new career high last night.
LeBronny?
That's right.
Wow.
Crazy.
I turned the game off. What did LeBron? What did LeBron finish with?
He finished with a grand total of 5 points.
Whoa!
And people were chanting deep in the third quarter.
I did see that.
We want Bronny.
Oh, I heard MVP chants too. I saw that on the gram.
I love you, Wizards fans, or lack thereof.
Wow. I think those were
Lakers fans.
Were those
probably
Lakers fans.
Yeah, you'd think.
Wow. Holy mother of mercy. So the Wizards have now lost 16 games in a row. And while you think that's pretty bad, and it is, it's the second time this year that they've lost 16 times in a row. Like, they beat the Bulls at home on January the 1st to start the new year, 125-107.
Strong start.
And haven't won since.
Not
lost 16 games in a row. Lost 2 games to the Knicks before that. I was at their second-to-last win, a heart-stopping 113-110 win over the Hornets, who they beat twice in 1 week at Capital One Arena. And that's it. That's it. And again, earlier this year, right, they had lost 16 games in a row as well. There was a stretch from Thursday. Let me see here. No, actually, it was earlier. It was, I'm looking at the wrong thing. Sorry about that. It was from Saturday, November 2nd in Mexico City to the Miami Heat, and then all the way through to Thursday, December 5th, losing to Dallas before beating somehow Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets. Whew, man. Brutal. So here's what, again, I think I underestimated, and I know fans of the rebuild, the retorch, the atom bomb being dropped, completely misjudged. Not only would they lose a lot, and they would lose a lot. And again, I think everybody kind of expected that. Again, I thought they would be better, even while being bad. So they're way worse than I thought they would be from just a win-loss standpoint. On top of that, and perhaps most importantly, what I totally and completely overlooked was their inability to be competitive in almost every game. I mean, they are getting annihilated. They are getting their doors blown off in the first quarter of games. Not every, but in most. Where, like, if you tune in the game, whether it be on Monumental Sports Network, or here on the Team 980, or occasionally on Bloomberg 99.1, if you tune in the game with, 2 minutes left to go in the first quarter, they're probably down by 20 already, and sometimes even worse. And like you would think, bad young team, right? They'd run out of gas, feisty, competitive, whatnot, give you everything they've got from the jump, play hard the first quarter, play hard the first half. It's just the opposite. They play terrible. It's almost like Ron Rivera's Commanders of the previous couple of years, who often thought that their game started at 2:25 instead of 1:02 in the afternoon, and they would bother not to show up for the first hour and a half of the game. It's almost like that. I mean, it's impossible to be as bad as they are. And yet they are.
My favorite evening tradition, because it's such a sad watch that I've just completely tuned out the Wizards. I do still get notifications on my phone, though. So every night before I'm about to go to bed, I will see Wizards lose 136-102. I'm like, ah, we did it again.
Last night's notification said 134-96.
That it did.
I mean, count it with me. I went to Buffalo State University, not exactly a preeminent math institution. That's, 38 points, I believe?
That's about right.
6-41. Listen, we say this because we care, right? Some people might think we're making fun of, and yes, to some degree, of course, we're making fun of. But it's not making fun of, like, the idea, which was to completely blow apart the franchise, right? It's making fun of the fact that they are 10 times worse than I thought was possible. I remember for years, Wizards fans, colleagues of mine saying, you got to hit the reset button. You got to hit the implode button. You got to tear it all down. They did. I hope you guys support the team still for the next year and a half, at least, when they suck completely. When they might win 35 games total in 3 years. Never mind 35 games in a year. And I understand they weren't winning a championship that way, and the final 2 years of Bradley Beal, they weren't even making the playoffs because of injuries. Not because of bad roster decisions. I mean, injuries are a part of it, but injuries being the primary part of it. Bad luck, all of that. Bottom line is they were competitive. They weren't good. They were competitive. And for all of you that wanted to hit the total reset button, here you go, baby. Enjoy 3 years of complete suckage and maybe another year at least of... Yeah, you know, maybe in 2028 the Wizards will be good. Enjoy it. You wanted it. You got it. I didn't want this. You got this. You wanted this. Here you go. They did what you asked for. Now, maybe they did it a couple of years too late, but the bottom line is they were busy being competitive or trying to be competitive, which... didn't exactly work out, but was a lot more fun than this. I'll tell you that much. All right, we're with you on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Just getting rocking and rolling. The Capitals lost in overtime last night. A sloppy performance by them. We'll touch on that, and then we will get into the meat of our show, which is, and we'll start with, after 1:30, Dan Quinn, the head coach of the Commanders. Happy 1 year anniversary this weekend. Dan Quinn, DQ, baby. We will discuss that and more. His impact on the Commanders coming up shortly, right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so we open up the show on this rainy Friday with the Wizards and how awful they are. And again, it's not the losses. Everybody should have been expecting that. It's more than I was expecting last year, this year, what have you. It's just a complete and utter lack of competitiveness from the very start of the game. Again, one thing to get blown out, you know, better team pulls away in the fourth quarter, second half. Nope, not a chance. This is literally from the start where they are down 20, 25, 30 before you even know it. I don't know how this was part of the plan. I mean, if you sit here and you say, well, this is what is expected, this no. You can lose games and be competitive. That was not part of the deal. I mean, I would imagine Michael Winger and Will Dawkins are sitting in their offices going, oh my God, this is worse than we thought. Way worse. Ted Leonsis has got to be going out of his mind. Right? Ted's there courtside. I saw him last night. I mean, I wasn't there, but I saw him on TV. I mean, what is he thinking? You guys got me to do this? Right? And I understand at some point there's like a light at the end of the tunnel. I think people could have handled 2 years, the last 2 years, of losing a lot of games, but being feisty, being competitive, showing promise. I got to be honest with you guys. Like, I understand they got named a couple of guys to the Rising Stars. None of it matters. You can't develop. You can't develop, truly develop, other than, okay, I'm playing against NBA players, so I guess that's developing. You can't develop when getting blown out by 30, because none of it matters. None of it matters. Honest to God, none of it matters. Now, people are going to say, no, you're wrong. You got to take your lumps. You got to learn. No. Okay. All right. That's your view. That's not mine. That's not mine. Again, I ain't asking them to win. I'm asking them to be semi-competitive. And none of that is happening. None of that is happening. Just an absolute brutal display of basketball. Especially the last week and a half. Just absolutely brutal. Now, the Capitals, on the other hand, now they lost last night in overtime. They did get a point. They came from behind, down 4-2 in the third. Alex Ovechkin with a goal. You'll hear it later. The Capitals did not play well last night. I mean, Charlie Lindgren gave up 5 goals and somehow played reasonably okay because of how dreadful the Capitals were defensively, and in terms of execution, allowing multiple penalty shots, a shorthanded goal, a free man to waltz in, set up camp, set up his tent, go get a cup of coffee, then get the puck on his stick, 10 feet in front of Lindgren, and blast one home for the game winner in overtime. The Capitals were not good last night by any stretch, but somehow, some way, even when they are not good, A, it's at the end of a 6-game road trip in Western Canada and then back towards sort of Eastern Canada, and they got a point. Even when you're bad, they're still not that bad. Now, we'll see what happens moving forward. Home for the Winnipeg Jets tomorrow night. The Winnipeg Jets are a good team. That'll be tough after a long road trip. It's usually that first game or two after a long road trip that, you kind of don't have your sea legs under you. Maybe you're just so happy to be home and in your own bed and whatever. We will see. If they win tomorrow night, that's a really, really, really good sign. Because that's a good team that they're facing home after a long, long, long road trip. But even when they stunk, and they stunk for a good deal last night, they were still competitive. Notice the trend here. Notice the point. Competitive. They were bad at times in a lot of ways and competitive and still got a point. Now, you can't get a point in the NBA. I got it. I understand that. Can you lose by 5? Instead of losing by 45. Can we do that? Can we do that, please? All right. Time for a trending alert, and then we will begin the Dan Quinn portion of our show. We'll explain what we mean by that next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, speaking of the NHL, of course, budgets and salary caps have been very tight the last couple of years as a result of COVID, but it is arising. According to Emily Kaplan of ESPN, the salary cap will rise for next year, 25-26, to $95.5 million with a floor of $70.6 million. The year after that, an increase to $104 million with a floor of about $77 million, and a third year after that, to $113.5 million with a floor of just shy of $84 million. The current cap right now is $88 million with a floor of $65 million. All of this means, boys and girls, business is pretty good for the National Hockey League and, of course, the Capitals at the very top of that. Meanwhile, from the WNBA, Natasha Howard is joining Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever. She's a three-time WNBA champion. So she is going back to your two-time All-Star, rather, and 2019 Defensive Player of the Year. And as we mentioned at the very beginning, Max Scherzer back in the fold. He signs a one-year deal to head north of the border and to join the Toronto Blue Jays. And that's what's trending. That's just got such a good instrumental. You have to let it build up, right? You just can't. You can't overshoot and ruin it. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Just getting sort of rocking and rolling about a half an hour or so in. We opened up on how terrible the Wizards are, how awful the Capitals were last night defensively and in their own zone, and they really hung out Charlie Lindgren to dry, yet they made a comeback. Alex Ovechkin scored a goal. Dylan Strome scored two, and they damn near won the game, and they still got a point, and now they come home and finally get to sleep in their own beds. We will get back into all of that coming up later on. We will get to Dan Quinn in a moment. I just saw this. Max, do you know who's holding an end-of-the-season press conference on Monday?
On Monday? Would it be ownership?
Ah, ding, 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 ding. Dan's not... No, no, wait a second. I'm sorry. I apologize. We're not stuck with that guy anymore. Josh Harris is going to address the media, and therefore the fans, Monday at 11:30.
State of the Union.
I'm guessing we'll have that carried live on the Kevin Sheehan radio program, and then we will be responding to it starting at 1 o'clock, I'm guessing. But yeah, how about that? Josh Harris, because Dan Quinn and Adam Peters did the right thing and addressed the media the day after, less than a day after, quite honestly. And you had the players, you know, doing their... Yesterday, Josh Harris had a full-page ad in the Washington Post thanking the fans. This is something I want you to think about for next hour. Not sure exactly what time we'll get to it, but start thinking about this. Josh Harris put this thank you letter out to the fans, right, in the Washington Post yesterday. Full page. If you haven't seen it, it's all over social media. I'll read you what it said. It's long. It's not short and sweet, I'll tell you that much. It was very heartfelt, well done, worded right. I think hit the proper note, what have you. I thought what we could do was have you, the Commanders fan, issue a thank you note to whoever you would like to thank. Josh Harris, Mitchell Rales, Magic Johnson, Mark Eyn, the rest of the ownership group, Dan Quinn, Adam Peters, Lance Newmark, the scouting staff, Cliff Kingsbury, Larry Izzo, any coaches before they leave, Jaden Daniels, Bobby Wagner, Terry McLaurin, Deron Payne for all of his great contributions. I'm just teasing. Just teasing. But you get the point. I want you to start. It doesn't have to be long. Doesn't have to be more than 30 seconds, if that. Thank you in your own words. Thank you for what? For winning so many games, for providing joy, for making me love the team again, for giving me time with my kids, for reuniting, bonding the community. I mean, there's all sorts of things you can thank and address the thank you note to. Josh Harris did his. You do yours. In the middle of the 2 o'clock hour, I thought we could have some fun with that. So start thinking about that. You do it on the phones. If you want to do it via Twitter or Twix, as Amy Lawrence calls it, you can do so at WrestleMania 621, at WrestleMania 621. But it's January 31st. Tomorrow. Tomorrow will be a tough day because, you know, Pete's memorial service and you know, we have to, you know, do that and attend that. And that's going to be very sad and emotional for all of us. But tomorrow is that. But tomorrow is also the one-year anniversary of Dan Quinn agreeing to become the new Commanders head coach. Adam Schefter had the news first, if I remember correctly. Jonathan Jones and others were in on it. Commanders have reached a verbal agreement with Cowboys defensive coordinator Dan Quinn to be their next head coach, source says, 11:11 a.m. February 1st. Schefter, I believe, was the first one to have it. So Dan Quinn was offered and agreed. Maybe he was offered the day before, i.e. 1 year ago today, and it took him until that morning. I don't know exactly how that process worked. I can't imagine it took Dan Quinn very long to agree. But Dan Quinn has been on the job 1 year, unofficially tomorrow. We're not on tomorrow. So today, I want to know, in the 1 year that he's been on the job, how would you letter grade him? Because the obvious and easy answer would be, hey man, they won 12 games in the regular season. They won 2 road playoff games. This was the most fun season. They did just about everything right. Dan Quinn deserves an A, if not an A+, right? That's the most obvious and easy answer. I would fully expect most people to be in the A category, but I'm just going to give you mine, and then we'll get Max. We'll let Max think about his for a sec. For me, it was an A-, and here's why. Obviously, the run defense, which was a problem in Dallas, it was a significant problem in Dallas, may have been even worse here, or it certainly felt worse here. I think in Dallas, it was more against physical, committed run attacks. Here, it was pretty much against most opponents that they got gassed or that they got pushed around in the run game. And yes, it takes time to turn over a roster and get players that you want. And they turned over a lot, but they couldn't turn over everything. But because it was such a consistent problem from start to finish and it was never solved, it was lightly fixed is how I would put it at times. And again, I'm not a DVOA guy. My eyes tell me what I need to know. They were not good enough against the run. Everyone knows it. Everyone could see it. Everyone that watched the game, everyone that pays attention knew it was a problem, knew it was a major problem. They were okay at times. Not good enough. Not in any way. Because of that, even though they won 12 regular season games and 2 road playoff games, and Dan Quinn installed the brotherhood and was the leader and the visionary, if you will, on field, and, you know, just everything that I was hoping for as a leader of men, and I think everything that Adam Peters and Josh Harris were hoping for as a leader of men, as a teacher, as a motivator, as a leader of men. Because of the run defense and then some other things, I have to kind of downgrade him a little bit to an A-. And I think that's being fair. Listen, it would have been very easy for me to say everything was Shangri-La, everything was perfect. They won 12 regular season games. Nobody thought, you know, Vegas thought they were only going to win 6.5. I mean, I only had them winning 7, but I don't claim to know everything. I used to, but I don't claim to know everything. The bottom line is, because they could not stop the run consistently, and then on top of that, I think they handled some other situations that, you know, decisions that kind of drove me nuts. Like the not going for the field goal on 4th-and-2 in Philadelphia from the 12 or the 13 that would have given them a slight lead 8 minutes to go in the game. Maybe they would have won. Maybe they wouldn't have won. Who knows? There was a decision against the Cowboys to go for it on 4th down that I didn't like. There was the 3rd 4th down decision. And again, I'm nitpicking here. The 3rd 4th down decision on the first drive last Sunday in Philadelphia. There was the 3-game losing streak. There was the, what's the best way I could put it? The merry-go-round at place kicker, which, again, is not really Dan Quinn's fault, but he's the head coach, so I got to, you know, say, hey, there was instability there, right? There was the inability to get anything juicy out of Daron Payne. There was the inability to turn around Emmanuel Forbes, Jamin Davis, Fedarian Mathis. The inability. That's all on the head coach, who's a defensive mind. Those guys did not get going. Did Daron Payne play okay at times? Sure. Okay is not good enough.
Especially for how much money he makes.
Yes. So I went with an A-. I could have easily gone a B+. I thought that was maybe a little too harsh. Max, I'm going to ask you for yours after the break, okay? And then we'll take your calls at 301-230-0980. How would you grade Dan Quinn, letter grade style, 1 year into his tenure? 1 year ago tomorrow, we found out that Dan Quinn would be the head coach of the Commanders. I celebrated. Many of you mourned. I was right. Those of you that were busy unplucking your lips from Ben Johnson's ass cheeks, you only got a 14-game winner. That's all. Sorry he couldn't deliver you 15 wins. Maybe next year on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, approaching 2 o'clock right here on a rainy Friday in the nation's capital. Dan Quinn, 1 year on the job. How would you letter grade him? I said A- before we get to the calls, which we'll start and then continue into the 2 o'clock hour. And don't forget, we're doing thank you letters to whoever you want in the Commanders organization in the 2 o'clock hour. Max, who just signed with the Toronto Blue Jays, Mad Max.
That's right.
Another one-year deal, probably worth $12 million.
That's right.
Of course, the Canadian dollar is not worth what it used to be, so you're going to have to figure that out, Max. Again, let me know. I know some people. How would you grade Dan Quinn 1 year into his Washington Commanders tenure?
So I really don't want to go with the easy answer. I also don't want to be overly critical. But like at the same time, it's an A for me, given where this team was a year ago. Like, we're just kind of wandering through the plains of football hell. We didn't really know what we were doing, what was going on. We were just kind of, wandering. And then Dan Quinn came in. He's been exactly what we needed, a leader of men. He hasn't been able to elevate the high-paid talent out of, like, say, Daron Payne or John Allen. But John Allen gets a pass this year because he was injured.
But, and I think he was pretty good in the playoffs, too.
Yes, also that. But there are a lot of guys on this defense who stepped up when needed to. And, like, I want to give a special shout-out to, Sheldon Day. Mm. Like, Sheldon Day had an incredible year when he was called up
Correct.
To do what he needed to do. And I got to give the head coach some credit on that. So, and there are only so many things you can do in a year to fix all of the holes that were left on this roster. So I think with one more offseason, we'll see how – I think we're going to see a substantial improvement again. And I think sky's the limit, man.
I think sky is potentially the limit. I think it's really hard to win in the NFL, obviously. It's easier to win, though, right now in the NFC than it is in the AFC, if you think about it.
Absolutely.
So Dan Quinn does have that going for him, along with a lot of other things. But the Commanders and Dan Quinn have that going for them. All right, let's get Jonesy aboard here before the top of the hour. Is there really a caller named Rooster?
Yeah, he says he's the real Rooster. I think he's Jack in your lane.
I think he's called me before claiming that he's the real Rooster. We're gonna save him for the 2 o'clock hour. let's get Jonesy aboard here. We're doing letter grades for Dan Quinn, and then we'll do thank you notes after that. Let's go to Jonesy on the Team 980. What's up, Jonesy? How are you?
Hey, Chris.
Yes,
Rooster, coming off the top turn buckle with the elbow smash of Shawn Michaels and Randy Savage.
Mm.
How y'all doing today, man?
Doing good, brother. Doing good. Flying elbow right in time for Royal Rumble tomorrow night.
There it is. First of all, hey, man, I'm going to jump out there and say thank you because I do remember you going off about DQ sometime last year around this time. And I was one of the ones definitely on the fence saying, man, what the heck is going on, Rooster? Has he lost his mind? Well, guess what? The dude hasn't lost his mind. He knew what he was talking about. Yeah, you the Ayatollah Nostradamus, man. I got to give you some love here.
I am the Ayatollah of rock and roller, baby.
You already know exactly doing the elbow smash off the turnbuckle. I don't care what nobody out there is saying, especially that joker that's sitting down in the 757 calling old Jonesy a butt kisser. Huh? That's right, because I'm going to be in his city soon, too, anyway, and I'm going to go and come see him. Anyway, yep, EQ gets, man, an A++, man, for what he was able to do with the Jimmys and Joes and even the pro that we have that's a rook that we call JD5, man. That's right, he's all the way live, and we're looking for some more come next season. So that's me. I'm out, man. I'm out, and I'm just awesome.
I got you, Jonesy. Thank you, pal. Appreciate you. All right, we were doing okay until the end. 158, Team 980. The real Rooster, maybe? I don't know. Is coming a-crowing after 2 o'clock on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.